Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
October begins, of all things, National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we're going to talk a little about that on the show because it turns out there's a link between domestic violence and us being violent to animals and to people. I mean, now it's well known, right, that most mass murderers, what a way to begin a show, most mass murderers, but it's true, they start off with companion animals. And in fact, the term the link, you know, the link between the two, the term the link, law enforcement knows what that means. Veterinary professionals know what that means, too. And we'll be talking with a veterinary professional, the amazing Dr. Melinda Merck. She's kind of like CSI for pets. She will explain why. I've been following a story for the past, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, maybe longer than that at this point. Tommy Tranchita is on the phone. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, Tommy's had this situation where she rescued some coyotes, a big heart. They all thought that the coyotes' cubs, they were babies then, would die. They didn't, Tony. And then you couldn't release them back into the wild because they're imprinted to people. No wild to release them back into anyway. So what do you do? There wasn't a sanctuary able or willing at that time to take the coyotes. So you say, all right, I've got a big backyard. I'll do whatever needs to be done. For 13 years, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Illinois State Department of Agriculture, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources for all those years said, no problem. I mean, you're getting the right permits. In fact, you have a great place for these animals to live. It's wonderful. The animals are living a good life. And then something happened.
Yeah, we had a horrible day, April 24th, 2019. I was woken up and told by an IDNR officer that they were taking my animals now. I tried to show them my permits. It was him, another DNR officer, and four Cook County Animal Control officers. Everyone was armed, and they did not give me a chance to show my permits. They did not give me a chance to crate my animals either. They were taken inhumanely. They were shot with tranquilizer darts and dragged off my property on chokehold poles. Three of them died shortly after that in a facility that DNR place them in.
And actually, there's, you know, if you're saying this story is too crazy to be true, there's video, and you can go to my website, stevedale.tv,
yeah,
and see the video of all of this. What's more, the animals are vaccinated. They didn't need to be vaccinated. They had been in good health. The trauma, I as a certified animal behavior consultant, I'm no expert in coyotes, but it's clear the trauma could certainly have had something, if not everything, to do with the demise of three of these animals who did nothing wrong. Allegedly, you didn't pay $25 and you weren't informed about the renewal of one particular license that only cost that much. Your neighbors had never complained about the coyotes. In fact, they helped you out. You provided education to the community about wild animals and coyotes in particular, well-liked in the community. Why did this happen? Do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, we have an idea. The DNR officer that headed this raid had just moved into the neighborhood, I believe, a couple of months prior. And he heard howling and decided to do an investigation. He told me he spoke to my neighbors, found me on the USDA website, and he had a clipboard full of Instagram and Facebook photos because I was never hiding anything. I had licensing. I've been inspected every year by the USDA. I had my vet and their vet come out and every year tell me that animals were tremendously in good health and happy and healthy, and everything was fine with the way I was feeding for them. The pens were huge compared to minimum requirements, and you know, I didn't expect any of this. In fact, DNR had been at my place, you know, in years past and told me I needed to start purchasing that permit you mentioned. It's called a forbearing mammal breeder permit, even though I wasn't breeding. And then, you know, recently I find out the fine print on that permit actually says it hasn't applied to coyotes since the 1970s. So this is the permit that we made an agreement. They told me if I pled guilty to not having that permit in the criminal case, that they would finally let Luna go to a coyote rescue.
Okay, let's stop there if we can to explain and catch up. So you're moving forward, which is perfect. So this gets into the court system, and the courts say, just as you said, now Luna that we're talking about is the one surviving coyote, and Luna had not been doing well. Remember, these animals are 13 years old. They've only known one home their entire life, and 13 is not young for a coyote. So they're older, if not elderly, animals at this point. Three of them, yes, as I pointed out, died. Luna is still living, but not doing so great at that point in time. So you say, all right, I want Luna to come back to the only home she's known for reasons I can't explain. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources says no to that, but they will allow you to take Luna to Indiana. And that's kind of where we left off last time, I believe, we spoke to you. So can you give us an update on everything, how Luna is doing, and if you're still hoping to get Luna back home?
Oh, yes. We're all working very hard to bring Luna home. It's the best place for her. She's in a good place now, but as you know, I posted videos twice a week at this second IDNR facility where they kept her indoors for the last 3 months, and she didn't have sunlight. She didn't have sky above her or fresh air or ground beneath her feet, and everyone that saw those videos knew this animal was in extreme distress. She appeared to be dying. She stopped even looking at me. All I could do is stand there and talk to her through a viewing window, even though I had a court order to have physical contact with her. But she appeared to be near death, and I was desperate to save her. So, yeah, we had this place in Indiana that knows captive coyotes. They've been in existence for longer than I had, you know, longer than 13 years. And the reason the judges gave that I couldn't get her back, and this is just in criminal court, was that they said without a hound running permit, I could not legally possess her. Now, I just have to mention that there are several other places in Illinois, right in our area, that have adult coyotes that cannot be released, and are educational animals like mine were. They're not required to have a hound running permit. They have the same USDA licensing that I have. And they also have that fur-bearing permit that hasn't applied to coyotes since 1978. So I don't understand why I'm different, but somehow the state or the judge sided with the state's opinion or their statement that I can't have her back because I'm not running hounds. And if anybody doesn't know what hound running is, you know, that is hunters that trap coyotes, foxes, and other mammals, and train hound dogs by letting their dogs chase and, you know, potentially kill the animals. Sometimes they catch them and let it go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, so, I mean, this story, Tommy, that clearly doesn't apply to you, but yet they say it does. Others don't have it, but they want you to have it. You were never given, going back to that $25, I'm sure would have said and tried to say, here's 25 bucks, go away, I'm fine.
Oh, but, I begged them to let me get the permits. And in fact, there's something called DNR activity reports people can look up online. There's someone that happened about a month or two after my incident that was allowed to purchase their fur-bearing mammal permit on the spot when they went to their house, and their animals weren't taken and, you know, subsequently died. You know, that person was allowed to purchase the permit. We all know what happened to me. Three animals lost their lives. Luna has suffered for 5 months. But, yeah, now she's going to do better, but she's going to survive, thank God. But they wanted to close that criminal case, and that's the only way they would let her go to safety.
As if you said, I'm guilty, and by saying that, they let her go to Indiana, Tommy. You know, I mean, the good news here, I suppose, is that I have it on good authority, like from the governor's office, that the governor is aware of this. The disappointing news, as much as I admire Governor Pritzker for his stances he takes on companion animal issues and wildlife issues, and the entire Pritzker family. I'm disappointed that more wasn't done. So the good news is they're aware of this, and probably because of that awareness, because of this radio station, frankly, and the blog posts that I've done, and other media and social media that lots of people have contributed to, the coyote did end up going to a better place, going to Indiana. That might not, I understand, have happened. So that's the good news. But that's not ideal. Besides, you did nothing wrong here. And, you know, no one is saying, you know, because I get these emails, why are you defending coyotes? Well, they're God's creatures, and these animals didn't deserve to die the way they died. And none of the four animals did anything wrong. If you did something wrong, it was not paying a $25 licensing fee. And the entire story is just crazy. And it should not have happened.
I would say, Steve, there's still time. The governor can still step forward, and so can Colleen Callahan, who's the director at IDNR.
That's right. That's right.
They have the power to send Luna back to me. Even if it was some kind of special allowance that they had to write and sign, they did that for a place in the Chicago area for 18 years. They had a coyote. You know, I should be given that opportunity, but, I mean, honestly, under the Dangerous Animals Act, which is a Illinois statute, I have a property right in Luna and all the others because I am a federally licensed facility.
Yeah.
You know, I'm relieved that she is in a safe place now, but it's not ideal. It's still not her home. And it's not the end of this. You know, people think like, oh, she's safe. You know, hooray, we made it. You know, we didn't make anything. She's looking for me every day, and the people that run it are experts, and they're, you know, they're telling me the best place with her is still with me. Yes, there are other coyotes there, but she's not going to be introduced to another coyote anytime soon, if at all. They're not like dogs. They can't just adjust like that. You have to be it's very tricky. You have to be careful, and at her age and what she's been through, she's going to have probably, you know, something similar to PTSD for a coyote for the rest of her life.
And actually, what I do know about brain chemistry of mammals is that's actually very possible. Tommy, I'm not done with the story. You know, I will follow it as long as there is a story to follow. People care about this issue. I know you know that. And I certainly know that by the response I've gotten from all of you, for which I'm grateful, because WGN listeners and listeners to this radio show in particular care about one another and care about our neighbors, which is what you are. And what you did was actually heroic to save these animals. And again, to the best of my knowledge, all you did wrong was not pay a $25 license fee. And certainly the coyotes did nothing wrong. So, as I say, I will continue to follow this. The governor's office hasn't heard the last of me, and maybe hopefully something good will happen. I think good will come of this because I think we're likely to see changes in the future at IDNR, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
Everyone is watching IDNR, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, right now. There's 40,000 signatures on a Lady Freethinker petition, Bring Luna the Coyote Home. There's lots of people very interested in this still. There are people calling IDNR daily. You know, we all are still, you know, the end goal here has not been met. Luna needs to come home. She's 13. We deserve a couple of years of the rest of her life because, you know, they don't live forever. She's got maybe a few years left. I mean, there is no harm in her coming back to me to live quietly with me so she and I can begin to have a little piece of our life yet and honestly heal each other. And that's, I need that desperately. I'm devastated. And, you know, she is too, you know, she'll survive, but, it's more than tragic what they've done. There's emotional damage on for me, for her, for everyone that has been watching this story. I mean, it's created so much heartbreak among people that just you know aren't you know involved at you know the level I am. But everyone that has seen this story, I mean, you know, Steve, it's heartbreaking.
Yep, it is, Tommy. I promise to follow this as I need to, and I thank you for getting up so early this morning. Thank you.
Dave, thank you, Steve. Appreciate you very much.
I'll tell you, no matter where I travel, people ask about this. I mean, they read about it in a variety of different places. And right now, Illinois Department of Natural Resources and therefore the state of Illinois are not looking very good. Hopefully some action will be taken to at least rectify some of what's been done. We'll talk with Dr. Melinda Merck about domestic violence and how that relates to our companion animals next. Dr. Melinda Merck is a forensic veterinarian. We're at the convention of the American Veterinary Medical Association. So it's good news and bad. There are more pets in America than ever before. The numbers indicate more people consider pets members of their families more than ever before with every passing year. Having said that, animal abuse is still a big problem, sometimes kind of hidden in a corner. And you're trying to bring it out, and you're also saying that this should matter not only for the welfare of animals, but all of our welfare as well.
Yeah, that's true. We know that pets that are in homes where there's domestic violence or family violence going on, that depending on the study, as high as 88% are being threatened, injured, or killed. When we have the statistics that at least in the U.S., 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime, that puts a ton of animals at risk. When we're looking at the United States, we're looking at over 28 million animals, pets and dogs, that are at risk in those homes with domestic violence.
And mostly it's not talked about. And even when you suspect your neighbor is being violent to the animal, then what do you do? And should you do anything? I guess one answer could be, mind your own business. I suspect that is not something you're encouraging.
No, that's really old thinking, right? We are a community, and we have different levels of community. But when animals are being potentially abused, or there's even sounds of domestic violence, and you know there's a pet in the home, you need to make a call. These animals aren't... they're not able to go to school. They're not seeing a teacher. They're not seeing a school nurse that might pick up signs of behavior or physical signs of abuse. They're crimes that are occurring literally behind closed doors.
Now, veterinarians can sometimes pick this stuff up. And in some places, I think it's the law that veterinarians have to then report it. And part of the reason, again, isn't only for animal welfare, but it's also because it is likely then that there's other abuse going on in that household. You once said, I was at a conference, I was moderating the conference. You were amazing. You always are. But you once said that you think that cats are more often abused than dogs.
They actually have been shown to more likely die from animal cruelty than with dogs. And it doesn't matter if that's hoarding situations, neglect, or actual physical violence against the animal. So, yeah, we know that this is a true link to a window of another crime that's potentially going on in most of the cases. The community, the only way we're going to know and can respond to animal cruelty and to help protect animals and the people that they're living with is by people reporting it, by making a call. It goes back to what
we
know.
Who do you call, though?
Well, you call if you're unsure, you always call 911, right? There's actually the National Link Coalition has mapped out the United States on where to report animal abuse for every county in the United States. They started with Texas to make sure they can get it done, right? But they mapped it out on where you call.
And the National Link Coalition is?
That is a organization that was started by Phil Arco that tracks information, cases, and research related to animal cruelty and other types of crimes.
And actually, it's a legal term and a law enforcement term, the link, meaning that if there is everything we've talked about, if domestic violence is happening in a home to animals as part of the family, it probably will be happening to children or a spouse or someone in that family.
Yeah, that's what we know. The statistics are really high. The more recent research that's very disturbing is the barriers for those that are living in violent homes from leaving when they have a pet. One of the studies showed that 65% reported that they delayed or would not leave if they couldn't leave and have a place to take their pet. So that's a significant barrier and poses a significant threat for both the humans and the animals.
Yeah, so I know that Purina and an organization called Red Rover and others are working on providing such spaces, safe spaces, where people can go because as you point out, people then won't go if there is nowhere to go. If they can't take their pet, then they're not going to go.
That's true. And we don't even have a shelter that will allow pets to come in with their owners in every state. So that's the Purple Leash Project.
Yes.
That's Red Rover and Purina, that their goal is to make sure there's at least one in every state, if not more.
Excellent. Dr. Melinda Merk, you do amazing work. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.